This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to On the Bench. For this episode, I am joined by friend of the show, friend of myself. That's the CEO of Battle's End, host of the Nullcast, a man who wears many hats these days, Ingram Smith. Ingram, welcome to On the Bench again.
Yeah, thank you, Brendan. Great to be back on with you. Certainly been fortunate to join a couple times over the years. I remember doing a pandemic show. Remember doing a rather infamous recruiting show, and always great to be able to jump back in with you, Zach, or Chris. So
the infamous show, I don't know if we could talk about that person anymore, what happened, but I thought about it like an hour ago. I was actually cleaning the bathroom, fittingly enough, while thinking about that episode and what a day that was, and was thankful to have you there because you were a calming presence in an otherwise chaotic day.
That was a wild day.
What a time to be alive. Things are much better now in the world of Florida State. FSU is 7-0 as it gets ready to play Wake Forest. Cruton's going well. Just the program in general, athletic department, football program, everything seems in lockstep and in a really good spot. And the Battle's End, you know, part of the football program's success, player retention, opportunities for players. You get to see guys in commercials, things like that. And you know, that's where this collective has really made its bones and has been helping out a ton there. So before we get going to some of the things that have been happening at TB recently, Ingram, I want to get a general, an idea. You've talked about this before on our show, other shows like that, that you were a kid basically subscribing to recruiting magazines and things like that. I always found that interesting that we all have our ways that we kind of fall in love with this quirky sport and specifically like the recruiting aspect. You got to be a diehard. But how did you find yourself gravitating to the recruiting aspect specifically?
I have a real clear memory. It was 1993, so I was 10 years old. I went and saw a friend of my cousin's who was playing at the Lovett School here in Atlanta. I figured it was just like an old boyfriend of hers or something like that, the guy that she was referencing, who she told me was a real good football player. I went and watched one of his games, ran for like 11 times for 233 yards or somewhere in that area. Kid was the number one running back in the country. I think Lou Holtz and who was the Georgia, Ray Goff, was at the game. So I was like, oh, this matters. This is interesting. And I'd always been I was 10. So since I was around 6 or 7, just kind of fell head over heels with college football in general. And I just realized recruiting, I remember in that class, I think the parade All-American and USA Today used to have these All-American teams, which were kind of the benchmark. AJC had a ratings. I believe the Orlando Sentinel did like a top 250 of the South, which was always something that I would try to get my hands on as a kid. But anyways, you'd have these ratings. They were big benchmarks. And I think the number one offensive tackle in the parade team that year was Orlando Pace. The quarterback was Peyton Manning. It didn't
Good
take
rankings.
Me long.
Wow, whoever did it that nailed it.
Didn't take me long to realize this stuff mattered. Yeah, exactly. So, ever since 1993, I've just been a recruitnik and fell in love with recruiting. And, that's waned a little bit and in time and also, you know, further reinforced itself. But it's always been high school. Recruiting, college football have always been two big passions of mine, and started the Nullcast maybe 14 years ago or so, based kind of out of that idea. And there's a kind of common little bit of a string through all those things that ultimately led towards the creation of the Battle's End. So we're coming up on about a year mark, think we announced ourselves in early December. We had a meeting November 15th where we were all like, okay, everything we talked about, like, we're not just talking. We're actually, we seriously want to try this. So we're about a year into it, and it's been an incredible process. And, like, you know, for a guy who was neither tall, strong, good enough to play for Florida State, this is just like a little bit of a childhood dream for me, even a year into it. So I'm incredibly fortunate and blessed, and have tried to, you know, tried to do everything I could to make the most out of an opportunity like this.
Remember when you guys first entered the landscape, your messaging was, paraphrasing here, or maybe exact quote, but I'll say paraphrasing in case I'm a little wrong, watch us work. And that was kind of what you guys wanted for the Florida State fan base, was to take the time to actually absorb what was happening, watch it before asking, you know, for contributions, for the collective part of it to really take off. And part of that, and I think it's going to be appropriate that we're, it's going to tie this together here, that, like, Wake Forest, Dave Clawson was gushing. I'll put that audio. I could put that in here.
That they were going to get back. You know, they let him work through problems, and they let him fix things, and he had a vision for the program. And I would say this, I don't know if anybody in the ACC has done a better job of embracing and maximizing what college football looks like in 2023. And I mean that as a nothing but a compliment to Mike, because there's places that probably have healthy collectives and money, but it's misspent. You know, they've done a great job of retaining their best players, you know, to get Jordan Travis to come back, to get Jared Verse to come back, to get Trey Benson to come back, to get Johnny Wilson to come back. Like, their best players are all back. And they lost some guys in the portal as well, but their ability to replace them, you know, with a guy like a Keon Coleman or a Fentel Cypress, you know, they've done a very, very good job of evaluating and picking players that fit them. And he really has. He's done an amazing job.
You guys, like, that was how you kind of made your bones, right? Like, but how did you realize that was going to be important? We've talked about that it was important before with you before, but, like, the foresight to know, like, this is a thing that's going to matter, and partially like a market inefficiency. How did you go about identifying that?
I think the term that we used, I mean, we not sound like, I mean, I guess we are a bunch of dorks and stuff like that, but
everyone listen to this. Everyone who's involved with, we're all dorks to some extent or another.
I mean, we did have the kind of initial group who got this off the ground is a big fan of a whiteboard, and we would whiteboard this and talk about things that we knew either weren't accurate or that of what we wanted to do. And, you know, the more and more we looked at it, just retention made more and more sense. And we did think, I mean, the term that we used at the time and still do is that there was a market inefficiency there. So it will be interesting to see markets course correct. And I don't know if, like, we're the number one case study in this. I think we probably are, but, you know, people can see that. People will adjust accordingly. And I think this, you know, what's in front of us from an NIL perspective, I think retention and the value placed on it will be all the higher. And yeah, we might have had a little bit to do with that. So
it was like a scene out of Moneyball where you guys are going on a whiteboard and be like, there's a market inefficiency.
I mean, that's probably, I don't know that Brad Pitt was in the room, but we did think that there was some, you know, some things that we could focus on, and also that there was a great amount of talent at Florida State that could grow and continue to blossom with his fan base. And, you know, some of the people who originally saw this vision started talking about Florida State potentially being a college football playoff team where, I've hosted the Nolcast for a long time. I've been a longtime Florida State fan. I pride myself on trying to be as informed and knowledgeable as possible. And when my friend used to talk about this, when Florida State was like 4-3 last year, I'd just be like, I guess maybe if everything breaks right, they could be a college football playoff team. But I didn't, I didn't see it. A couple other guys did. And, you know, we knew that this was going to be important and know how passionate this fan base is. And I don't know why a light that I just bought 2 weeks ago just failed. So it's preposterous. Sorry.
It's close to Halloween. Just saying, Poltergeist potentially. Can't rule it out.
Let's see what I can do here.
Actually, it's pretty good like that. You look, it's like vintagey looking.
Yeah, vintage. Okay, that's professional.
By vintage, I mean like before they had lights.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe I can just hold a flashlight under my chin. And
Halloween again.
Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, they stayed. There were some guys in our group, one in particular, had an incredible amount of vision, and we leaned more and more into this. And, you know, there's guys that we're fortunate to be able to partner with that were part of Willie Taggart's last class. And, you know, Kalen DeLoach was the first guy that we announced a partnership with. And Kalen DeLoach has seen just about everything in this program's history that you could over the past 4 or 5 years. And we thought that there was an opportunity to tie some of the existing players to this fan base's passion and then this fan base's size and create marketing opportunities that are according and in line with that. And, you know, not everything's been perfect. And we haven't batted 1,000, but never been a matter or lack of effort. And we'll just continue to try to learn and evolve and make the most of this space for as long as we're in this space.
Are you allowing yourself to enjoy this process? I know when we first talked, man, like kid in a candy store, dream come true. And then you kind of get to see how the sausage is made. So I don't know if there's like a disenfranchise that could be there or like, and I'm just talking about behind the scenes stuff this season as it's playing out, all of it kind of cumulatively, like, is this fun?
No, I mean, it's an incredible amount of fun. Particularly when I can get my lighting right when I'm trying to do an interview. That's when it is the most fun. There's moments where I still am like, oh, this is kind of crazy. This is awesome. It is a job. I mean, it is, it's just, there's a little bit of a meat grinder factor to it, just to be perfectly honest with you. I was driving home couple days ago and YouTube suggested that I watch a Miami instant reaction podcast that I did 2 years ago, and I'm like, oh, that was 2 years ago. That's, I think I've aged like 6 years since then. So yeah, there's some nights that are a little less sleep. I don't know. I mean, I'm a little uncomfortable talking about this because it makes me sound like I'm trying to be woe is me or whatever. This is a dream job, dude. Like when I check out of this earth, I will be like, you know what? I got to do that Florida State project for a couple years, and that was freaking incredible. So that's what it is. Some days are awesome. Some days are a little challenging, probably the way it is with a lot of jobs. But, you know, my highs are an incredible high. So I can't complain, won't complain. It's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Anything worth doing doesn't come easy, I think, is kind of what was rattling around in my brain there as you were answering that. Because you were in something that's a high leverage position, and there's a lot of stuff at stake. But you're also getting like that childhood, like recruit Nick and FSU fan stuff like that, that itch scratched a thousand times over. Let me see here. All right, so pulling on the fan strings for a little bit. So FSU goes up to Wake Forest this weekend. I find the fan base is like, it's not a rivalry with Wake, but there is this disdain that is like a little more amplified than some other schools. Why do you have any kind of like idea, like geographically not particularly close? I know, you know, when there was divisions, they played fairly, you know, frequently. I have my theories as to why, but I would like to get yours as just a longtime FSU fan. Like, what's this little underlying like tension against Wake as we enter this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because they're like, from a size perspective, it's like the one school that you can always look at yourself and be like, dude, they should never beat us in football. You know, it's I say this a lot, like if Wake Forest wasn't playing in the ACC, they very well might be playing like Hampton, Sydney and Washington and Lee in Virginia. You know, like that's more the size of the institution. It's a small school. It's an incredible school. It's a great school. I spent some time in college with some people that went to Wake, and It's just not, you know, you walk on that campus and it's more kind of the size of a large college campus. It's a beautiful campus. A lot of tobacco money, and I'm not speaking ill of it at all. I have a lot of great things to say at Wake, but it's not the type of school that when you walk out of there, you're like, oh yeah, they should beat us. You know, this team that looks like it has a high school, you know, kind of looks like a Texas high school football stadium. Just not a program like that. There's also kind of like in my opinion, a little bit of kind of the East Coast establishment that's never quite fit with Florida State. And this is the school that's actually gotten you a couple times, you know, of like the Carolina Blues, whether or not you want to call them a Duke and UNC type of blue blood. But yeah, there's a little bit of a culture clash as well, I think. But really, it's just a small private school. You're a massive state school in you know, maybe the best state in the country to be located in, and you're 30 minutes from the border of Georgia, which is probably the third or fourth best state in the country to recruit from. So, you know, this is just you shouldn't lose to Wake all that frequently, but they've done a good job. They've invested in football. They've gotten some good coaches. They've historically done a good job of getting kids for, you know, fourth, fifth, and 6 years to stick around and fully develop, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, that's the best answer I can give to that question.
I think that makes sense. I think it comes down to, like, you touched on it, like that barometer of like school that you shouldn't lose to. And when you do lose to them in a, not just lose to them, but in an embarrassing way, it kind of signify the end of the Bobby Bowden era. Mm-hmm. Going up there in 2019 and that loss, Willie Taggart freezing his kicker. And that's when we started reporting on things getting really uncomfortable for Willie. It's been a pretty integral school. I feel like when things don't go well, Wake is your barometer for the basement, I guess. Did you follow along like some of the beef that Florida State fans were having with Wake fans and media in the off season? And if so, do we have what was more entertaining? You smile. So I think you have, what was more entertaining, that weird, like, rivalry, or FSU fans versus Michigan State fans in the offseason? Both random, both delightful. It was a long offseason. Do you have a favorite?
What was the Michigan State beef based off of?
I think it was based off the perception that Keon Coleman would come to Florida State.
Oh,
and that, okay. Michigan State was a better program.
This was after he decided to come to Florida State?
Yes.
Okay. That one I wasn't familiar with. The Wake one made me laugh. I mean, the AD putting out whatever graphic that was, or assistant AD. I can't remember who the title, so I shouldn't say that, but whatever gentleman associated with Wake Forest or general lady decided to put out a graph saying that Wake was like the most up and coming brand in college sports or whatever is funny. is a funny move. But yeah, no, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Some of these, it's just an interesting, you know, interesting culture of Florida State football fans and people based in North Carolina for whatever reason, whether it be like the Raleigh sports radio crowd or Wake or whatever else. Just those two have never really perfectly merged and tend to find, you know, both of each other's faults to be kind of hilarious. So, yeah, that one I was familiar with.
Let's move back to some of the happenings with the Battle's End. I think you guys just announced that you're over 1,000 members. I think that sense has gone up a little bit too. The goal is,
yeah, awesome. We're at 1,100 members. We'd actually requested that graphic like last week, and then something, you know, just last week was crazy hectic, and honestly we forgot to put it out there. 1,100 members, not that, you know, you need to know to the date, but today's been another great day. We're probably at 1,125, something like that currently.
Awesome.
So we've continued to grow, have some good growth. We were always ahead of projections, just candidly. We were ahead of projections till the season started. Then we didn't quite see, to be fair, it's very hard to model, but we didn't quite see the growth that we thought we would in season originally, mm-hmm. Particularly if you would have, you know, if you would have just let me write a script for the season, Brendan, this would be it. You know, the players that we're most commonly associated with have been very, very good players. And you guys can figure out that from a model of, you know, retention and otherwise. So, yeah, we've grown well. There's opportunity in this space for, you know, Florida State to meet a criteria for competitiveness that's not fully dependent upon the Atlantic Coast Conference. And, you know, whether or not you fully believe that these kids need to be getting paid like I do and a lot of my friends do, or if you just love being 7-0 and being as competitive a place as possible, I would suggest that you look at the battles in and you take stock of the roster and have an honest conversation with yourself as to if you think getting involved is a good thing for the sports that you care the most about. So, you know, we need support and we need to continue to grow. This thing has been funded from an incredibly generous perspective. And to an extent, we're very fortunate in the people that have made this possible. And when I say we, I mean our team and the fact that all of our expenses, operating expenses and salaries and stuff like that are covered. If you give $19.99 to the Battles Inn, it goes entirely, you know, back into the function of running the Battles Inn and what, you know, operating such an entity means. That's not, there's no, you know, Ingram Smith bonus if we get X amount of members or whatever else. None of that. What you give to us is put immediately back into what we do as far as operating the entity that you get involved with. So just something that's got to continue to grow in order for Florida State to be at the level that somebody that's going to be listening to a podcast like this 21 minutes into it is passionate about. So I, you know, ask that your listeners give us consideration. Go to the website. You're welcome to email me if you want. It's my name at thebattlesend.com, and I'm happy to talk to you about what we do and explain to you anything that you might have a question about.
I think like the big things I always see, Ingram, like when people are like hesitant, and I think that wall has been kind of run through for the most part. Like, I don't think that's as prevalent as when Collectus first jumped onto the scene, but like the one was like, okay, where does my money go? And then, so you've addressed that. And then the other is like, does it actually make a difference? And
yeah,
it does. Yeah, I don't know how much you want to get into that, but it helps.
No, it does, man. I mean, from a numbers perspective, every membership matters. I speak to the founder of this project frequently about where we are from a number perspective. So top line members count, the bottom line as far as the amount you give matters, and whether that be the lowest or highest membership classification that we have, we just got to continue to grow, continue to show different types and areas of growth. But I think I was talking to a guy who was potentially going to give us tens of thousands of dollars recently, and he wasn't sure if that was even going to matter, because I guess just the perception was that we have so much money that something like that wouldn't matter. And we're in a good place. We're very fortunate. We've been exceptionally competitive. So I don't want to, I'm not saying that we're desperate by any means, but hell yeah, something like that would matter. I mean, that's a very, very significant opportunity for us and would be great for us from a long-term perspective. So would encourage you to, get involved, whether you are somebody that has, a copious amount of resources and opportunities, or, if you're somebody that would be involved at one of our lowest levels, or look, you can just give a one-time gift. We've had some $60 and $70 one-time gifts. I think this next game, should Florida State win, we may do, rather than 8-0 and $80, maybe $14 for Florida State winning 14 games in a row, should that occur. So we'll try to have different opportunities and levels of involvement. And I realize that, people, $14 a year may be that of what people can do. And that's appreciated. And there is no gift that doesn't matter. Everything matters. And this is a yarn of string or a ball of string that we want to continue to gather steam, and maybe a snowball analogy would have been better there, but whatever. We need to keep moving downhill, picking up membership, continuing to grow, and anything that you can do as a listener is gratefully appreciated.
Have you ever noticed that the idiom downhill can be both positive and negative?
Yes, it can.
Isn't that crazy?
You can get rolling downhill, or things could go downhill from there. Or yeah, absolutely.
Since you entered the space a year ago, and I remember when it first started, even before the Battles End was the thing, we were just talking about being like the Wild West. And it's got far more regulated. So that's then, I guess, what changes have you seen, generally speaking, like the way collectives and enterprises such as yourselves are perceived, and then how they operate, like in generalities, from this time, like a year ago?
Yeah, I think the marketplace in general has done a good job of just sorting like absolute morons out of it. You know, I don't know that those people are around. So that's a positive thing. I do think that there's a lot more clarity that retention and proven production is easier to find marketing opportunities around rather than newer entities. Let me put it that way. I think that's been a significant pivot. I do give pushback on the Wild Wild West stuff. I don't really think that's true. I don't think that's what you're going to continue to see in evolution. I think you'll see as this space matures and becomes more, becomes more and more like a business for most of the collectives that I would label are kind of best of class. Look at it in that manner. And it's not just like, let's just see how much money we can light on fire. I also think that you'll see an evolution on the agent side of things. There's probably some type of agent registry going to come about at some point in this process. That's something that almost every stakeholder can agree upon. So, there'll be more and more regulation. Speaking from a broader collective association or a collective point of view, and we are a founding member of what's known as the Collective Association, which I think we've got almost 30 members now. We probably will have north of 30 next time we make an announcement on that. But we'd be open to enforcement. You know, there as this space matures and evolves, there's potentially going to be more formal revenue streams that make themselves available towards NIL. And I think if you could agree to live within certain lines or otherwise risk those revenue streams, dude, there would be a level of accountability, I think, from inside institutions that you've never seen before, as far as everybody knows that they need to live within a certain guidelines. Otherwise, I mean, it's one thing to get slapped on the wrist because, you know, some moron went and did something stupid. It's a whole nother thing to potentially jeopardize a multi-million dollar revenue stream towards an athletic department. So the Wild Wild West stuff is just BS, to be perfectly honest with you. That's not what we want. That's not what we're representative of. So I think that's a crutch that people use. I think that's kind of a lazy comment that, some politicians may use, and to be fair to politicians, they got a million things to be up to speed on. NIL is not going to be one of them. They're going to get a 2-minute briefing about it. Some staffer is going to, Google NIL at 1:30 in the morning and put down Wild Wild West as a bullet point. But I just, we don't have three really sharp lawyers. We don't have two leading minds in the field of tax and tax advice. And we didn't just hire a guy away from Deloitte so that we can go be the Wild Wild West. That's not how this works. So, I do give pushback to that.
I think that like talking point has definitely like simmered down a lot, to be fair, in the last 6-7 months. But like that was something that there was a push for legitimacy, and you guys have been at the forefront of that. Kind of with that in mind, like one thing I'm really curious is like the way NIL is covered and from a media perspective, people like myself and even like when you had you still have your foot in the podcasting and analysis business, but obviously foot in multiple camps now. But like so when people are talking about college football in a broader sense and covering it, like there's some outlets that will talk about NIL and dollar figures and stuff like that. If it becomes more and more not just even regulated, it's not the right word, cohesive and like having these guidelines for everyone. Do you think it could get to a point to where it's like looked at the off season part of like how the NFL is, where you're talking about actual contracts and salaries? I imagine there's multiple steps that would have to even like happen before you could even get there. But I feel like it has to be on the table at least like a little bit.
Yeah, some of these political ideas that get floated out there talk about transparency of contracts and salaries. you know, that may happen. I don't have a crystal ball on this as to exactly how that's going to play out. I'm a little skeptical as to, you know, if ever you're going to see, oh, Georgia's quarterback signed a collective deal and that collective, you know, and that deal was worth, I'm just using a hypothetical, you know, $232,000 and 180 cents or 18 cents or whatever, you know. I don't know that we need, you know, full visibility on that. And I don't know that it's going to come anytime soon. I do think that the news cycle, I don't think this is an intentional thing, but I do think college football kind of stumbled into something with these transfer windows and portal, I guess I should call them portal windows and things like that, because maybe it's just because I've walked into this pond of insanity that is NIL at times and roster management. But it's felt like to me this college football season has moved faster than it ever has.
It's year round, dude. Look at these grays. Yeah. Here 2 years ago. Like it is year round now.
There is a new cycle that feels much more similar to the NFL. You don't just have this, oh, it's you know, it's after, let's say, April 15th, just as a spring game date. It's after April 15th, and we're not really gonna pay attention to college football again until, you know, we might mention it at the 4th of July, and then, you know, come August 1st, we'll all go into our, you know, closest thing to withdrawals, as we know that college football is just a couple weeks away. That didn't feel like what happened this year. So I do think it's kind of unintentionally very beneficial as far as a news cycle standpoint. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, there is shades of NFL, which kind of just, that was where my mind goes. Like, okay, I was going to keep looking like that. All right, I think last thing that I have for you, and you were a public figure before this in the landscape of FSU. Fans would recognize you. You're now a public figure for like some of the NIL, and it's high stakes, and people get passionate about it. Like, have you ever been negatively recruited or had anything like super personal in that realm like impact you at all? I'm curious. You're in a different
Have I personally been? I don't think so. I don't think I'm I understand what you're saying. I don't think I'm important enough to ever be negatively recruited. Now there's like, you know, would there be an idea that maybe somebody would try to negatively recruit a collective or something like that? Yeah, and then maybe that's what you're talking about. I would just say our track record is pretty good, man. You know, if somebody wants to talk to anybody that we've ever associated with, I'm happy to do that. And I've got, you know, again, Brendan, you could interview every parent we've ever worked with, and I'll give you full access to them. And I'm comfortable that when we've entered into an agreement with somebody, we've done exactly what we said we were going to do.
I'm glad nothing personal has occurred. That is nice. But just keep at it long enough and people are going to, you know, that's just
the
way the world works. I'm glad that hasn't happened to you. Smoky Scotch, like what do we got going on? What were celebratory whiskeys that are on shelf or on deck? Anything going on?
So I've traveled almost to every game this year with a bottle of Pappy with the intention of like, oh, if this happens, I'll open it or whatever. No, I haven't opened it yet. I did buy a couple scotches recently at the, there's a great place in Tallahassee for scotch. It's the Total Wine. It's no like great secret or something, but I do go in almost every time just to keep an eye on it. Found some of my favorites last time that, you know, maybe if something significant happens in the near future, I'll find a reason to pop one of those things open. So
you're just traveling around with a bottle of Pappy. Don't tell people that. That's not good to put out there.
Well, you know, yeah, true. True. Maybe that's the negative recruiting I never wanted to have happen.
We've been a dangerous place with my Pappy because after it gets to like below half a bottle, like the shelf life on it starts expediting drastically because of oxidation or something above my head. And so like, it's at a quarter.
It's
so
not
like
a self-justification that I've already drank that much. I might as well just go ahead and polish it off.
For the podcast audience, people listening, I'm shrugging my shoulders. I don't know, man. I don't know. Okay. It's there. It needs to be drunk. Oh, it's just going to start tasting weird. It's not going to be what it was. So
is that I'm more a Scotch man than I've never really heard that. But is that the more oxygen that gets into a bottle, the more it can negatively impact?
Yeah, bourbon? Any type of By the
I'm
way,
sure that's probably true for Scotch too.
By Chattanooga whiskey. Yeah, any type of whiskey once you pop it, make it stay good forever in the bottle. It's not like a wine once right. you open it where it's going to ruin it like that. But as it becomes 51% oxygen to juice, like it'll start altering a little bit. And the more and more air it's there, the more it'll change it over a period of time. Allegedly. Okay. My apologies, you don't last long enough to find out.
All right. Well, I do have a very nice bottle of Scotch I bought. I got married in February. I bought, and it's probably got more than it's probably below the benchmark that you just laid out there. So thank you, Brendan. You've given me
you're welcome. An excuse to go drinking on this Thursday afternoon. Yeah. It should be good for, I mean, it takes years for it to happen, but if it gets very, very low, then it'll be months. So
Well, I need to get moving. So I appreciate it.
All right. So let's one last time, let the people know.
I got Scotch to drink at 3:45, Brendan. Let's go.
people who listen to the podcast regularly will be shocked to know that I somehow derailed it. That's not surprising. Before you get out of here, man, one more time, where can the people go to support the Battle's End? And more importantly, I think support Florida State football.
Yeah, absolutely. So thebattlesend.com is a website that we have up there. Ask that you go give it a look. We've got a bunch of content that we've tried to do, some serious content about why, you know, players choose Florida State or what's special about Florida State. And then we released a 90-second conversation of me talking to Keon Coleman about Waffle House, and that's done like quadruple the views than anything that we've ever done. So as a content guy, Brendan, you can really appreciate that.
Yeah, charismatic, amazing athlete, and Waffle House is a good ingredient.
Yeah. Noted. So we've got everything from that to a detailed breakdown on the scoop and score from the Clemson game with Deloach, Fisk, and Bethune kind of walking you through that play to Keon Coleman when he first joined the Battle's End and talking about why he came to Florida State, or also Keon Coleman talking about how seriously he took film study, to which was the first time I was ever like, oh, this dude's not just like, oh, this is going to be fun. This isn't just like a guy who's so athletic he could play basketball at Michigan State. This is also like a dude who's wired very differently when it comes to the approach towards the game and how much effort he puts into it. So, thebattlesend.com. We're on YouTube, Insta. I've got a bunch of interns, which means we've got a TikTok page. Wherever you want to find us, we're out there. We're trying our best. We'd love to have your support. I can assure you that the more that this pod grows, we were retweeted by or quote tweeted, whatever the proper term is now, by Mike Norvell yesterday.
Yeah, big
time. Encouraging the fan base to continue to grow this pie. And we certainly appreciate that support and know that we pour into this everything that we get, take it seriously, and try to be the best representation of this fan base that we possibly can be.
All right, beautifully said. For Ingram Smith, I'm Brendan Sinome. This has been On the Bench. Support the Battle's End. Ingram, enjoy your day, Scotch. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you, man. Good talking to you. Congratulations on the Chattanooga whiskey thing. As my dad's lived on Signal Mountain for about 25 years, I'm very familiar with the product, and it's a great partnership.
Amazing, amazing value, amazing bourbon. Thank you. We are really proud.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.